right, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Last time we were in Jude, Pastor Luke preached a great message on the first part of the verse where it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." Pastor Luke preached a great message on that. And what we're going to do is we're going to build on that. We're going to continue on into the last part of the verse. It says, "Praying in the Holy Spirit." So, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." I'm going to go ahead and pray. God, we invite you to come in this place right now, Father God. We thank you that you are here, God, that you are speaking to us and through us, Father God. I ask, God, that tonight, as we open your word, you would give us ears to hear, Father God, and heart to understand. I thank you that your word would go forth and it would go forth into good ground and produce fruit in our lives, God. I thank you that we're not hearers only, but doers also. God, I thank you that we don't come to hear from a man or a woman, from the young or the old, Father God. We come to hear from you, the Holy Spirit, the teacher of the church. So, Father God, I ask that you would fill my mouth. Help me to speak clearly, God, that your word would be clear and concise, God, that it would be understood, and we give you all the glory and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, so, Jude 1:20, what are we focusing on tonight? It's the last part that says, praying in the Holy Spirit. That one little part, it's not even a whole it's not even the whole sentence, just the last part, praying in the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean, praying in the Holy Spirit? Maybe you say, well, okay, I mean, I'm a Christian, so like I got the Holy Spirit, right? Like I'm saved, I have the Holy Spirit, and I pray, so I pray in the Holy Spirit, right? Like that probably seems true, seems logical. Like, yeah, that makes sense, and that's true, and that's good, but it's not completely true. It's not the whole truth. There's actually a little more to it. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump straight into this, and we're going to do a little bit of teaching, studying. So I need you to keep your student hat on. I need you to be studious right now. Take notes if you would like to, but I need you to pay attention. I need you to pay attention so you don't miss it, so that you understand what God is trying to say to you, what God wants to show you, so that you can receive what God has for you, all right? So, when we get saved, we do receive the Holy Spirit. That is true. When you get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. I was reading, it was a couple weeks ago. I'm going to say something that Pastor Joey says a lot. I was preaching in the youth one time, that's a good thing, by the way. It just made me think it as it is almost coming out. We're talking about being saved, what that is. And so before we're saved, it says that spiritually, the Bible says spiritually we are dead, right? That's what the Bible says. Spiritually we are dead. But when we get saved, it says that Jesus, he takes out our heart of stone. He takes out the dead part and gives us a new heart. He gives us, we get the Holy Spirit when we get saved. God gives us something new. He takes what was once dead and makes it alive. He gives us something brand new, and part of that is that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. One verse that I like to kind of illustrates a little bit is John chapter 3, verse 5. You can turn to it, or I'll just read it real fast. It says, when we get saved, or basically, I'll summarize for you. When we get saved, it basically says that when we get saved, when we're born again, when we receive salvation, that we have received, or God has given us, a fountain of living water. So we have this living thing, right? He took out the dead thing and gave us a living thing, a fountain of living water. And I want you to remember that. Remember that as a picture, a fountain of living water. You know what a fountain looks like. It's a fountain. Maybe if I had a picture, you could look at it, but I don't, so just make one up. It's a fountain. It's a fountain of living water. When we get saved, that's what we have. That's what we have. It's the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of us, and it's a good thing. I'll read it to you. Basically, we're born of the Spirit is another way to say it. So let me read this verse to you. John chapter 3, verse 5. I'll read it to you. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel at what I said to you. You must be born again." Basically saying like, yeah, you've been born of the flesh. Your mom went through labor and you were born, right? You don't remember it, but trust me, it happened. The second part is that now we have to be born of the Spirit, right? That's what the Bible says, born of the Spirit. So now that's this, we were dead, now we've been born again, right? That's what it says in the verse right here, we've been born again. Now we have this new thing, we are born of the Spirit, and part of that being born in the Spirit, and I said the wrong verse earlier, is John chapter 4, where he talks about we have a fountain of living water, so forgive me. We are born of the Spirit, and now we have this fountain of living water on the inside of us, and that is good, and that is great, and I like to say it like this. It's good and it's great as much as you realize how much you need it. So for the people like, yeah, I'm doing all right, but you know, like, oh, great, Jesus died for me, that's cool, my life's not bad. Like, or you don't have an understanding of, you don't really understand your need for Christ, that's one thing. But if you really understand your need for Christ and how we need a Savior, we are lost, we are sinners, we need a Savior to save us so that we can know him and go to heaven and all this type of stuff, this is a very, very good thing. But guess what? It's like one of those infomercials. But wait, there's more. There's more to it than that. It goes even farther. There's more to it. So that's where we're going to kind of jump into the next part, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you've been saved, if you got saved here at this church, you might have even been baptized right out here in the fountain, right? You go out there, you get baptized in water, and it's a good thing. It's a great thing, and we should do that. Jesus did it as an example to us, so we should follow his example and do it also, right? It's a very good thing. You should do it. But there's another side of it, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what is baptism? What does that kind of look like? What is it about? Baptism is about submerging ourselves, getting fully immersed, completely going in and under in the water, right? You're completely submersed in this thing. So now the Bible is going to take us into this new area called being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So now we're going to talk about kind of what it is to be baptized in this Holy Spirit and what that looks like, what we should do, how we should do it. Just what does the Bible say about this thing? Because maybe you don't know. Maybe you think you know, but you don't really know. Sometimes that happens to us a lot. So let's look at a couple of things and let's see where this kind of starts. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 3. And I'll kind of set it up a little bit. In Matthew chapter 3, what we have is John the Baptist. He's baptizing people. And basically, Jesus comes, and John's like, whoa, this is Jesus. This is the guy I've been talking about. I've been baptizing you guys, you know, with water, but this guy, I can't even baptize this guy. Let me just read the verse for you. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, Indeed, baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me, this is John talking, I've baptized you with water unto repentance, but he, Jesus, who is coming after me, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So it's saying, okay, we've been baptized with water here, maybe by a pastor, maybe by somebody else. This right here in this verse, we're talking about John the Baptist. He's been baptizing different believers in water, right? But he's saying there's even more. There's a next step. And that's not something that I do. That's not something that Pastor Joe does or Pastor Luke does. This is something that Jesus does. Jesus baptizes us, in the Holy Spirit. So this is something that Jesus does. He is going to do this next part of a baptism for us. And just to kind of go a little bit more with this, it's like, okay, John the Baptist said, yeah, we should do it. Jesus is coming. He's going to do it. But there's another verse. Let's go to one more verse. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. I'll just go ahead and read it for you. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Who's he in this verse? The he is Jesus. This is Jesus talking. He's talking to his disciples and a group of other people. He commanded them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So here we are. We've seen John the Baptist saying, look, I'm going to baptize you with water. That's a good thing. You need to do it. It's going to be good for you. But guess what? There's somebody coming who's better than me, Jesus. He's going to baptize you, not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And then we jump forward. We're going forward in the Bible, and we see here's Jesus saying, hey, look, he's already lived his life. He's about to go back to heaven. He's saying, wait for this thing. I got this thing coming. Remember, even more. But wait, there's more. There's more coming. Wait for it. Don't leave. Don't get tired and become impatient. Wait for this thing. I got something coming. And it's like John said, that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So these are kind of a frame of reference of what it is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, what it is to be born of the Spirit, and what it is to be baptized of the Spirit. And I want to make that delineation to you right now that those are two separate acts. First, when you get saved, You are born of the Spirit, right? That's the verse we looked at. When you get saved, you are born of the Spirit. You are born again. That's one thing. But that's not all of it together. Then there's a second part. So maybe you got saved, then you got born of the Spirit, maybe you even got water baptized after that, which is good and great. But now there's a second part, an additional part to it, and that is to be baptized with the Spirit. And those are two separate things. So let me give you an example. I'll just talk you through them real fast. Just as an example that we can see here, if you look in Acts chapter 8, Philip goes and he preaches to the Samaritans. He preaches the gospel. People get saved. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. The Gentiles are getting reached for the first time. Woo, it's great. Praise God. We're Gentiles, so that's a good thing. We got the gospel. Philip goes. He preaches the gospel. But the people get saved. But then just a few verses later, it says that Peter and John go and visit the same people. They lay hands on them, and they are filled with the Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. So we can see very clearly in the Bible that these are two separate things. And it's important to understand this. You got to understand this. You're looking at me like, that's cool, or like this is school or something. But trust me, you got to know it so that we can move forward and make some good progress with this. So, water baptism is one thing. Getting saved is one thing. Baptized in the Spirit is another thing. Why would we want to be baptized in the Spirit? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit about? Why do we want to do this? Let's go to a verse real fast, because the Bible's good and the Bible tells us. So for the sake of time, I'll just read a couple of verses. You don't even got to turn there. You can write it down. I think it'd be good for you to write it down. It's good for me. Might be good for you. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Basically, this is just a couple verses after that first part. Remember where I said, Jesus said, hey, disciples and everybody else, wait here because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and you're going to get baptized, like John the Baptist said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wait for me. This is just a few verses later. This is when it actually comes. And this is what does the Bible say? It says, but you shall receive the power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit about? What does it do? It gives us power. It gives us power. Power, and maybe you've heard like dynamite power, like the word the Greek word there is dynamo, but it means dynamite. It's this powerful thing. It's this amazingly powerful. It's an incredibly great thing. Another way you could say it, I saw while studying, is basically it means that you can do it. So basically, let's kind of put them together. Basically, it gives you the power to do. The power to do what? The power to do what God has called you to do. The power to do what God has commanded you to do. How about this? The power to do what you know, just like Pastor Joe talked about tonight in praise and worship. God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You know he speaks to you. He's a good God. It's a communication thing, right? It's a relationship with God. He talks to you. He gives you the power to do the things that he's asking you to do. Now, here's the problem. A lot of times, I feel like God's telling me to do this thing. And you start to kind of do it, and you try to do it, but we kind of end up doing it in our own strength. We try to do it out of our own ability. We try to do it out of what is on the, what we have out of our own flesh and blood. But there is good news here, because the Bible is saying, Jesus is saying, I have baptized you with the Holy Spirit, and it gives you the power to do what I've asked you to do, the power to do what I've called you to do. So maybe you've already stepped out. You're like, you know, I'm going to college, but man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. The bills are adding up. I don't know. My grades aren't doing good. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Guess what? You have the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now you have the fullness of the Spirit, and you've been filled with the Spirit. Now you have the power to do what God has told you to do. Do you know how it's going to work out? Nope. Remember that song? Remember that song we just sang? I don't remember the exact words, but do you remember what I'm talking about? I'll do when I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I'll still do it. Something like that. I don't know. I think it was a new song. Give me a break, right? But basically, that's what I'm talking about. God's told you to do something. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how to do it. But guess what? God has given you the power to do that thing. God has given it to you. It's a very, very good thing. It's a very, very important thing. And just to kind of couple that, or to add to that, I'll flip over, same book, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, I'm just going to read part of it. It says, And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's the same story. We're just moving along in the same story. It says, and the disciples, this group of people, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me read one more verse to you. It says Ephesians 5:18. Basically, you might have heard the verse in a different context, but basically, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And what is this whole thing about being filled with the Spirit? What does that mean? What does it look like? What are we talking about here? And it's actually a really, really great thing. So let me just kind of line these things up logically for you, because that's how it works for me. I'm logical. You get saved, right? You are born of the Spirit. Then the next part of it would be that you can be baptized in the Spirit. And when you get baptized in the Spirit, that's like an event. It's a thing that happens. Like, you remember, I remember on this day, November 8th, 2013, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But then after that, that baptism, that there's a thing that kind of keeps going with that, and that's called being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit isn't a one-time thing. Being filled with the Spirit is something that continues. It's something that you have to refresh. That verse where it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, that word filled there, if you look it up or you kind of do, you know, do the breakdown on it, it's talking about being continually filled. It's not like a one-time thing. You fill up the glass and that's it. No, you have to continually fill yourself up. You have to continually be filled. Like we talked about at the beginning, remember we talked about that when we get saved, we have a well of living water on the inside of us. A few chapters down in John chapter 7, it says, when you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit is in you, with you. He's in you, or baptized, you've been baptized by the Spirit. Good Lord, forgive me. That at that point, the words that John says, it paints a picture that we can look at in contrast to having a well of living water. Now John says that we have a river of living water flowing out of us. So one is a well, seems kind of stagnant, right? I mean, it's good. It's living water. The Bible says if you drink in it, you won't thirst again. Like, that's some good water. But that's not the end of it either. There's more to it, and that is that when we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, now we have a river of living water, which what? It kind of paints a picture of what? What we talked about before, right? Power. Like, when there's a river, there's power, right? That you get hydroelectricity. Like, where you let stuff spin in the water like a dam and stuff like that. You know, there's power in that. So John is painting a picture for us. It's a picture that we can see. One, you get saved, you have a well of living water. That's good water. But when you get filled with the Spirit, when you get baptized in the Spirit, it's another thing that can take you farther, that can give you the power to do what you could not do before, because it's a river of living water that flows out of you. It's a good thing. Thank you for that half amen. That was good. Let me give you an example. So I had them bring this over here. So just to kind of paint a picture for you a little bit. I just spilled the water a little bit. Sorry. Okay. So when you get saved, the Bible says we have a well of living water on the inside of us. When we get saved, it's like we get Holy Spirit, just bam, we got the Holy Spirit, right? Is this cup full of water now? It was empty before. Has it got water in it now? It's got water now, right? We got the Holy Spirit. This is a good thing. This is a very good, right? This water, you drink it and you'll never thirst again. Good water. But if you go, when we take it farther, we do look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does that really mean? To be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, it looks like this. When we can take this cup of water, and I hope it's big enough, and it's like putting the whole cup in there. So is the cup still full of water? Yeah, the cup's still full of water. We still got that water, but now we are completely submerged, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are completely submerged in the Holy Spirit. So not only is the Holy Spirit in us, but he's all around us. He's about us. He exudes from us. He is a real living thing. You know, you've heard people like, oh man, I can tell that person's a Christian, right? You've met that person. You're like, that person, there's something different. They're definitely saved. I bet you they have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I bet you they are filled with the Spirit of God, right? Because when you're filled with the Spirit of God, it's all around you. It's all about you. It's not just on the inside. It's something that comes out on the outside. It's something that people can see. It's something that makes a difference. But guess what? It doesn't stop there. So here we are. We've been baptized. We've been in there. But the Bible also says that we be filled to overflowing. And that's this process of what I was talking about. Being filled, it's not a one-time thing. You got to keep doing it. Because you might have a leak in your system. Anybody else got a leak? I got a leak. You need to be continually filled. You need more of God. You need more of that power. You need more of His Spirit to give you the strength to do what He's calling you to do. So like I talked about earlier, you know, part of it, probably a big part of it, I don't know. I feel like I say this all the time, though. It's just recognizing your need for it. If you don't think you need it, you aren't going to access it. You're not going to work for it. You're not going to desire it. You're not going to go after it. This Holy Spirit power that you have available to you, it's available to you. God's like, let's go. This is a good thing. I want to give this to you. This is great. Trust me. But if you don't ever access it, if you don't think it's important, therefore you never really access it, therefore you don't really walk out the Christian life, the way that God would have you to walk in your life in fullness of joy and prosperity and faith, you know, and all these things, that all these promises that God has given us, if you don't know that you need it, you're not going to access it. But I want you to have that picture. Realize it's one thing to get saved. It's another thing to be baptized. And it's yet another thing to be continually filled by the Spirit. Let's keep moving on. So if we go back to the verse I read just a few seconds ago in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, let me read the rest of the verse. It says, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Speak with other tongues. Speaking in tongues. What is that? Maybe you've heard about that. You're like, that's crazy. I've seen people do that, and that's crazy. Where's the door? But don't worry. We aren't crazy. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at what the Bible says about it, because it's important what the Bible says. Not what other people said, not what other people did, not what you've seen other people do with speaking in tongues, but what the Bible says about speaking with tongues. So let's look at it. Speaking in tongues. Number one, I'm just going to give you a couple of things that I want you to realize. Number one, speaking in tongues is part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there are gifts that come along with that. There's 9 gifts. We're not going to look at them all tonight, but one of them is speaking in tongues. So, number one, it's a gift. And along with that is like I just said, number one, it's a gift. Realize the Bible calls it a gift. It's a good thing, not a creepy thing, not a thing that's like, whoa, those people are weird, they do that thing that's really weird. No, the Bible says this is a gift from God, and I'm pretty sure that God knows what He's talking about, right? Like, God is good at giving gifts. He's good at it. So let's take His word for it, and let's move forward a little bit. But part of that is that you give somebody a gift, they can abuse that gift, right? They can mess it up. They can make it look weird. They can make it seem funny. They can do things with it that makes it seem like that's weird. I don't have anything to do with that. So with speaking in tongues, a lot of times it has this bad taste in our mouth about it, because what has happened is that people have taken the gift of speaking with tongues and elevated it or made it more important or made more of it than all the other gifts. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says these are all gifts for everybody. You should desire them. The Bible doesn't say this one is better than this one and this one. No, the Bible says these are the gifts of the Spirit. One of these is speaking with tongues. It's a good thing. So sure, have we seen people abuse speaking with tongues, make it look weird, make it look really strange? Yep. Yeah, we sure have. I bet everybody has. But just because we've seen people do that doesn't mean that that's what it is. It means that people can abuse things. People can make things, even a gift that God has given them, and use it in a way that it was not intended. So speaking in tongues, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing because it's a gift. God gives good gifts. People can misuse it. But let's keep moving forward. Why speak in tongues? Why speak in tongues? Let's go in our Bibles, 1 Corinthians. Go and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When you're there, say, I'm there. I'm there too. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to look at verse number 2. It says, "For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God." The first thing I want you to notice is right out of this verse is that the primary purpose for speaking in tongues is to speak to God. That is the primary purpose of it. The primary purpose is not so that I can speak in tongues when you guys are over here and think, like, man, that guy's really like spiritual or something. He's like saying that weird stuff. Like, no, that is not the purpose of speaking in tongues. The primary purpose of speaking in tongues is that we have a direct connection that we can speak to God. Amen. That's a good thing. All right. So why should we speak in tongues? Number one, or the first thing, realize that the primary purpose for this is that we can speak to God. Okay. The second thing, we'll move down a couple of verses in chapter 4. I'll just read part of it. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Edifies himself. What does that mean? What does edify himself mean? It means that you build yourself up. It means that there's this, think of it like this. Edifying, if you go back to the words, break it down a little bit, you can see that you could also say that it's like a charging, like batteries, like charging batteries. How many people have ever been tired and you're like, dude, my batteries need to get charged? Anybody feel like that besides me? It's important. Like we've all been there where it's like, you know what? I'm worn out. I'm worn down. I'm tired. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how that's going to happen. I'm worn out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel like I don't got enough to keep going. Part of what this does, the second thing, edifies yourself. You can say that it charges us, that when we speak in tongues and we pray in tongues, that it charges us. It charges us. It empowers us. It builds us up. It makes us stronger. It's like if you had a sock and you just, and you could plug yourself in. It builds you up, right? That's a really good thing. Maybe your guys' life is great and you don't ever need to be built up. Good for you, but I know I need it, and I need it a lot. And guess what? It's a good thing, and it helps me, and it will help you to get access to that power to do what God's calling you to do. To access to that power to do what God wants you to do. God has so many things in store for you. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has dreams. He has things. He has things for you not just in 5 years. He has stuff he wants to do for you tomorrow, even tonight. Right? He does. He is a good God. But you got to access him and let him walk with him to be able to do those things. So number two, it edifies yourself. And just like the verse, our opening verse tonight, right? Jude 1:20, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Right? That's saying the same thing. It's painting the same picture that this is a thing for us to connect to God to build ourselves up. It's one thing like, man, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm just going to call, you know, Pastor Joey, like, look, I know, dude, the kids are not listening at all. Like, I have to spank them all the time, and Chris didn't even make dinner, or just kidding, she always makes dinner. Or whatever, you know, and it's like, and you know, oh no, it's going to be okay, Michael, don't worry, you know, they're going to grow up, and they'll grow out of that stage, and Crystal will learn how to cook better, and, you know, I'm just kidding. This is what we typically do. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I want to talk to somebody about it. Somebody make me feel better, please. Right? That is usually our first reaction. That is our flesh that says, anybody else feel like this? Let's talk about it. It's so hard. I know. And that's all you guys say back and forth to each other. You say your bad thing like, I know I didn't go to bed till 1 in the morning. I know. Me too. And then I had to get up at 6. Oh, I know. I know, so did I. You know, it's like, it's just, that's what we do. But guess what? The Word of God, the Bible, Jesus is showing that there's a better way. It's one thing to say, oh man, Joey, please, Pastor Joe, build me up. I just need encouragement. It's a whole other thing to say, all right, God, me, you, direct connection. Let's do this. You build me up. You strengthen me. You make me strong. You empower me and refill me and fill me up to do those things that I know you're calling me to do today. It's a good thing, it's a better thing to get connected with God than it is to always reach out for somebody else to pat you on the back. I know, me too. God wants us to edify ourselves, to build ourselves, to get charged, to get recharged by him and his Spirit. Amen? Third thing, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I'll read it to you. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me read it one more time. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray, but the Spirit prays for us, basically. The Spirit will help us in our weakness. He can pray for us the way that we should. And if you keep reading it, and in the Bible it says that basically, if you keep reading in that, I believe it's the same verse, that you keep going a couple of verses. Basically, what it's saying is that the Holy Spirit, it prays the will of God for us. So, it's one thing to pray, dear Jesus, how many people know you can pray bad prayers? Like, you can pray things where it's like, God's like, you sure you want me to do that? Like, you, I'm pretty sure I can see a big picture. You ought to just trust me. Like, you know, we can pray bad prayers. And sometimes it's like, you know, God, I don't even know. I don't even know what to pray. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I don't know what's going to happen with that. And guess what? The Holy Spirit, that through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit can pray through us. So now we're praying, right, to God, directly to God. And now it's not even us doing it per se. It's the Holy Spirit praying the perfect will of God through us. That makes for one really good prayer. That makes for a prayer that you should be excited about to line yourself up with. That makes a prayer that you should be excited to get in there and say, all right, God, pray through me. It doesn't have to always be praying in the Spirit. It doesn't have to always be speaking in tongues. Sometimes you can pray and you know it is just the Spirit of God praying through you in regular words. That's a good, you know, that's good too. It's not like this, it has to always be praying, you know, oh, speaking in tongues is this other thing. No, but I want you to realize that God can pray for us, through us, right to God. And man, that is a good thing. That is a powerful thing. I like to think about it like this. One of the gifts of the Spirit is prophecy. And sometimes it's the same thing, like tongues, you think prophecy, like, that's kind of weird, when's the world going to end? Go ahead, you can tell me, just like the other guy. You know, like, no, I'm not talking about crazy prophecy. I'm talking about godly prophecy that we can do for ourselves right here, right now. Like, what are you talking about? Easy. This is all it is. You get yourself in the Word of God. You find what the Bible says. And then you pray the Word of God, which is the will of God, over yourself. You're prophesying. That's called prophecy. And that, just like this verse we're talking about, letting the Holy Spirit pray through us, that is what, man, I'm telling you, that makes for some really powerful prophecy. Because now you're not just praying that maybe I hope this might be this other thing, I hope they break up with this person, that come to pass, and begin to build that in you before you start trying to do something else. This is good, I'm telling you. This is the Word of God. This is the power of God. It's good. Next thing, 1 Corinthians 14, right where we were. Let me read these verses to you. I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? I'll explain that to you in a second. At the giving of your thanks, since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well. So what is this verse saying? So it's saying, you know, okay, when I speak in tongues, nobody else understands it. So, why would you do that? Like, no. Praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, that's not for everybody else. Praying in tongues, that's a personal thing. Just like we talked about, right? The praying in the Spirit is to edify us. It edifies us. So when I'm not going to go sit next to, you know, somebody and be like, and just, oh man, thank you, Jesus, that you've built me. And like, no, that's something I'm going to do on my own in my own personal time, my own private time. I don't do it so everybody can hear me talking or do this big old thing. No, it's a personal, it's a private thing. So basically what he's saying here is we don't do this around other people because other people won't understand it. It's not meant for other people to try to understand it. That's not the point. That's not the purpose. But what it says at the end is, the end of verse 16, it says, at your giving thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say, for you indeed give thanks well. You indeed give thanks well. And basically, the last part of this, what we're talking about, is that basically when you pray in the Spirit, when you speak in tongues, you praise God well. Why? Again, because it's the Holy Spirit praying through you. You are glorifying God. I don't know if you've ever known this, but one of the quickest ways to get into the presence of God is to glorify him. Just start telling him how good he is. Start thanking him for everything that he's done for you. Start, you know, oh God, I thank you that you are, you know, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. You're the beginning of the, you know, just start saying these things. You start glorifying God. You start saying all these things. You start giving thanks well. We give thanks well when we pray in the Spirit. And that is a very good thing. It's a very powerful thing because that brings his presence also. So realize when you're praying through the Spirit, that first, we're praying directly to God. It's this direct communication to God. Number two, that it edifies you. Number three, that he can pray for us and through us. And number four, that you will give thanks well in it, that you will glorify God well in it. And we ought to do that, right? We ought to give God thanks. If you didn't think about that before, you should. It's a good thing. You ought to give God thanks for all that he's done for you. Sometimes it's really easy. You're like, man, I'm going to nothing. I'm this and that. You go on and on. And you've forgotten all of the crazy things that God had done for you 2 months ago, a month ago, sometimes even a week ago, sometimes yesterday. You're like, psh, all of a sudden, yeah, I don't know what happened. Today is the worst day ever, and you forgot that thing that God did for you yesterday. When he opened that door that nobody else could open. You got that job that you thought, you know, there's no way I'm going to get this job. God opened the door, and you got that job. And then a week later, like, I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, like, I don't know if God's going to be faithful. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. We forget. I'm just saying, as like a side note, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful, right? We're in Thanksgiving season. We're coming into this. We're going to have a grateful service. Being thankful and being grateful, super important. Why? Because it helps you keep your perspective right. It helps you keep a proper understanding. It helps you stay in line with the Holy Spirit that you can now pray through him and he can build you and edify you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, being baptized in the Spirit, one thing. That's an event that can happen. And guess what? If you haven't been baptized in the Spirit yet, tonight we're going to give you that opportunity, and it's going to be a good thing. And it happens, and you'll remember, because when the Bible says when they were baptized, it wasn't like this slow, long, drawn-out process like, well, he started the baptism last week, and I believe that this week it's a little bit more. Like, no, the baptism, you look at it in the Bible, it's always a thing that just happens. Like, The Spirit of the Lord, you baptize. When you go in the fountain, you get in, you go under, you come out. Thank God they don't hold you under, right? It's not this like really slow, like, it's going to be a 5-minute baptism. And just, oh, hold it. Like, no, this is a thing that happens. Like, it happens. So the baptism of the Spirit is going to happen. And that's an event. And then the filling of the Spirit, the refilling of the Spirit, all of that, that is something that we continue to do after that. And we see that, we see in the Bible, we saw from the apostles, from the disciples, when they were filled with the Spirit, that they spoke in tongues, right? They began to speak in tongues. And what does that mean? Basically, that speaking in tongues is an evidence that you've been baptized and filled in the Spirit, right? Just like when you get baptized, what are you doing? You're showing an outward expression of an inward commitment you've made. That's what baptism is. You're saying, look, I've made a commitment in my heart to give God everything. I'm going to give him all my heart, all of my life, and I'm going to do that. And now I believe it, and I want to make it public. I want people to see that. I've made this inward thing. Now I'm going to do it publicly. I'm going to do an outward expression of what I've done internally. That is what baptism is. So baptism in the Holy Spirit, you can think of it similarly. When you get baptized in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, that's kind of like, it's an evidence, it's an outward expression of what you've done. Right? That's what it is. That is the outward expression. That's the evidence that you've been filled with the Spirit. Now, do you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, you don't. But I believe that what we've looked at tonight, the verses we've looked at, the purpose of speaking in tongues, what it does, how it edifies us, how it connects us with God to be able to pray in the Spirit, the perfect will of God through us, and realizing that it's a gift, right? Like, I didn't make that term up. That's in the Bible. It's a gift. It's a good thing that we should want to speak in tongues. We should want to have that gift operating in us. Why? Because it edifies us and it builds us. And I don't know if you're anything like me, I need that. I need to be built up. I need that edification. So do you have to be? No, but let's look at one more. I'll just read the verse 3. If we were to keep reading, where I finished. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Verse 18, this is Paul. He said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. this is Paul like, hey, maybe you don't want it, but I thank God I do it, and I do it all the time. Personally, privately, you know, in its proper setting. But I do it all the time. Why? Because if we can look at the Apostle Paul and say, man, look at what he did. Look at the life that he lived. Look how God used him. This is a good thing. And for him to want to boast in this gift that God has given him and this gift that he has been using, and he says, I do it more than you guys. Like, this is a good thing. This is a great thing. We really, really ought to recognize that, hey, if this is good enough for Jesus, if this is a gift that he's trying to give me, and the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, I do it more than everybody, and I'm happy to say that. Like, you want to challenge me? Like, no. We should realize this is a good thing, and we should want this thing. We should want this thing, right? So what we're going to do is tonight we're going to give people an opportunity to, one, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're going to give people when you get baptized, you also get filled with the Spirit. So we're going to give people an opportunity to get baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then also to speak in tongues. You will have that opportunity. You might think I'm crazy, but trust me, it's good. Don't worry, it's not weird. But before we can do any of that, we have to do something first, right? What did we start this whole service out with? The beginning of it was talking about that when we get saved, when we are born again, when we receive salvation, then we get that well of living water on the inside of us. So the first thing, the first prerequisite to this whole thing is that you got to be saved. So